This is the Senate Transportation Committee, and today we have, on Thursday, December 7, 2008, two bills, Senate Bill 216, designating Alaska Highway and part of the Richardson Highway as a Purple Heart Trail, and then Senate Bill 224, an act providing for and related to the issuance of general obligation bonds for the purpose of paying the cost of state transportation projects. We do have with us today Senator Wilikowski and Senator Wilkin and myself, Senator Kukesh, the chair, and I'd like to ask Senator Ellis to step up and we'll present, give us a presentation on Senate Bill 216.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it's okay with you, I'm going to have my staffer, Max Hensley, join me at the table here for any of the tough questions.
We know who does the work. He's welcome.
Staff, yes, always pay tribute to the staff. Mr. Chairman, good afternoon to you and members of the committee. I really, really appreciate you having this bill before you. I'll say at the outset that there's no controversy. There's tremendous enthusiasm for this legislation. For the record, I'm Senator Johnny Ellis from Midtown and Downtown Anchorage, Senate District L. And I really appreciate the time before your committee today. You summed up the title there. It's the Purple Heart Trail, portion of the Alaska Highway and the Richardson Highway. We'd be joining a number of other states and honoring the men and women who have sacrificed for the freedom in our country through the service in the United States military. I think all of you know that the Purple Heart is a distinguished decoration for military men and women who have served in this way, recognized by the President of the United States. Many of you know I come from a military family. My dad served in the Air Force for 31 years and served in Vietnam, was in some combat, but never made this sacrifice, though we and our family had great respect for those who did. So the Purple Heart Trail is a wonderful program. A project was brought to me and to my attention by a constituent of mine, a distinguished constituent and a leader in the veterans organizations in the state, Mr. Ron Siebels. And I believe Mr. Siebels may be online today. He approached Representative Berta Gardner, who's here with us today. She's the sponsor of the House legislation, and I've introduced the bill in the Senate. We're racing each other to see who can honor veterans. Actually, we're working together very closely to honor our veterans in this way. DOT has been terrific and cooperative and reasonable in their fiscal note and the cost of this project. Lots of veterans in Alaska, and I think we all want to join together. I hope we all want to join together and honor them in this very common sense, but very public way. And so with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions and move the conversation forward.
Any questions from members of the committee? Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Did I leave anything out?
That your boss left out?
Just to make clear to everyone, the original text of the bill, you also have in front of you a proposed committee substitute, which is language that clarifies the size and location of the signage proposed by DOT. Just to make sure that everybody's clear on the difference between the two versions. If there are any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them.
The committee substitute is Senate C?
Yes, the backslash C version.
Backslash C, okay. Yes. We should work on. Yeah, good.
Chair, do you need a motion to adopt the committee substitute?
We do.
I would so move.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt the committee substitute. Is there an objection? Hearing none, we'll work off the committee substitute slash backslash C.
Thank you. Those were just some technical suggestions from DOT, and so it was just a refinement of the bill.
Okay, great. So we are working off that
Thank
committee
you.
Substitute. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are we missing a fiscal note, or is there a fiscal note?
Yeah, there is a fiscal note. It's $150,000.
Mm-hmm. And through the chair, DOT has told us that the fiscal note applies equally to the CS.
Okay, thank you. I don't have it. That's why.
Yeah, if it's not in your packet, I'm sure we can get you a copy.
That's okay.
And just for the record, let me just say that fiscal note is for $150,000. It's an installation of six major signs, six minor signs, three informational kiosks along Richardson and Alaska Highway. And it's for 1 year only, fiscal note.
That strikes me as a good deal, Mr. Chairman. I think they're stretching the dollar there, too, for the number of signs. So I appreciate the cooperation from DOT.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? If not, thank you very much, and we'll open it for other. Anybody else in the committee who would like to testify? Representative Gardner, would you like to testify in favor or against the bill?
Don't surprise me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Berta Gardner from Midtown Anchorage District 24, And I think this is a very exciting bill. It's part of a national movement to designate just a small portion of highway in every state to honor, as Senator Ellis said, recipients of the Purple Heart. And in order to get a Purple Heart, it's somebody who's injured in the line of duty or even killed. So Alaska, with a strong military tradition and a current force of many thousands of men and women, it's very much appropriate. And the section of highway that's been selected was actually recommended by the military, by Ron Siebels, who's the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart and represents the body of people in Alaska who've been advocating for some time to get this done. And that particular section of road is, I think, very relevant. It kind of is joins by the state, and I think that part of the road was originally built by and for the military, and it goes to Fairbanks, which has a big military presence as well. So I think it's absolutely appropriate, and hope we can get this through this session.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Representative Gardner? Not here, none. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anybody else in the committee room who would like to testify on this particular bill? If not, we're going to go online, and I'd like to ask Ron Siebels, who's online, if he would like to make a statement or testify on this particular bill.
Yes, I would. Everybody hear me okay?
No, you're kind of coming in a little bit weak. Try it again. Maybe good. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, I just want to thank everybody for their support on this. It's such an important and worthy project, and I can't thank everybody enough.
Excuse me.
I really appreciate it.
Excuse me, just for the record, please, the affiliation you have, and again, state your name, please.
My name is Ron Siebels. I live here in Anchorage. I'm the chapter commander for Chapter 593, Military Order of the Purple Heart. I'm also the senior vice commander for the Department of Alaska.
Great, thank you very much. And if you would continue with your testimony, I'd really appreciate it. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. I do have a few words. I have to say, in support of the Purple Heart Trail Project in Alaska, combat wounded veterans, we all know them. We learned about them in the movies, the libraries, the classrooms, and in the millions of dinner table and cafe conversations across America. Support of the Purple Heart Trail is the right thing to do. It can be the visual proof that we care enough to show that we care. Many who travel the proposed Purple Heart Trail will either be related to or know a wounded veteran. I strongly believe that everyone who sees the Purple Heart Trail signs in Alaska will know that Alaska truly cares. That visual connection will not only help to directly remember Purple Heart recipients, it will also show the travelers that we in Alaska will continue to care. Those who shed blood for our way of life will only be forgotten if we forget to remember them. So let us not forget. I don't want Alaska to be the last state to support this. Right now, there's 43 states that are in support of this, plus Guam that also is on board with this. So on behalf of our combat wounded veterans, I ask for unanimous support for the Purple Heart Trail Resolution. And I want to thank everybody for your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions from members of the committee for the presenter? Seeing none, thank you again so much for being here this afternoon, Mr. Siebels. We really appreciate you being here. Is there anybody else online?
This is Senator Cowdery. I'm online now.
Oh, good. Thank you, Senator Cowdery. We are just hearing the Senate Bill 216 on an act, or 218, an act relating to the use, 216, I was right, an act designating Alaska Highway and part of the Richardson Society as a Purple Heart Trail.
Yes.
We don't have anybody else online who wants to testify. We don't have anybody else in the audience, so I'm going to close public testimony and ask for the will of the committee. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regard to CS for Senate Bill number 216, I would move that the committee pass this bill out of committee with individual recommendations and an accompanying fiscal note.
Okay, are there any objections? Seeing none, this bill is passed out. Thank you for the next committee referral.
Appreciate it.
We're going to take just a brief break to sign the documents.
Thank you.
And then we're going to go on to the GO bonds. Okay, we're back on record, and the bill before us, Senate Bill 224, and I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to the gentleman from and lady from the state and have them introduce themselves for the record and give it a shot here, and let's see where we go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Frank Richards, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
I'm Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before we begin in our presentation, just wanted to know if the will of the chair was that we go through the in-depth presentation.
Well, I understand you have maybe two or three slides for each bond.
Yes.
Area.
Each project.
Yeah, so let's go. That's fine. I think we're going to be fine as long as understanding we have about an hour left for this meeting.
Okay, we will do that expeditiously.
Thank you.
We're here today to describe for you the projects that are included in Senate Bill 224 and briefly define the needs and present to you the details and the benefits of each of these projects. As you'll see, the projects are spread out geographically across the state and address four of our primary goals as a department. That is to increase safety, promote economic development, reduce congestion, and preserve our existing assets. First project is a congestion relief project. It's an upgrade of Dowling Road to four lanes from Old Seward Highway to Minnesota. This project and the highway to highway connection are two of the largest projects in the Connect Anchorage Initiative, a 10-year congestion relief program funded by federal, state, and local funds and part of the municipality's long-range plan department's STIP and the AMAT's Transportation Improvement Program. Past funding for the Connect Anchorage projects were included in the 2002 bond package, which included Elmore Road. The eastern portion of this crosstown route is nearing completion. That is Elmore Road, which was opened in the fall, and Dowling Extension East and 48th Avenue Extension, which are expected to begin construction this summer. This shows a little bit more in detail where the phase of this project will be. This portion of Dowling Road is located in the geographic center of Anchorage Bowl, which, despite being the center, is lacking of east-west corridors. This will relieve congestion in the heart of the city. There are no direct east-west roadways stretching from the Seward Highway to Minnesota Drive that are south of Tudor and north of Diamond Boulevard. There's a 2.5-mile region deficient of road connections. Phase one of this project, as shown in the green, will construct the portion from Old Seward to C Street. We believe that the upgrade of this road will divert approximately 23,000 vehicles a day from Dowling Road from Tudor Road and Diamond Boulevard. Tudor and Diamond have three of the top 12 accident locations within Anchorage, and the reduction in congestion this project will provide will have a commensurate increase in safety by reducing accident at these congested intersections. Second project is an economic development project. It will augment a project that the City of Anchorage is just beginning to look at the alignment into the University Medical District. Traffic in this area of Anchorage has been increasing steadily as developments such as the Native Hospital and the surrounding community, surrounding businesses have increased. We estimate that the traffic growth will continue in this area as increased numbers of students, employees, and patients accessing the University Medical District, and they come from the high growth areas of town such as Chugiak, Eagle River, and the Mat-Su.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, we have a question.
Yeah, can,
Senator Wolkowski?
I'm trying to figure out what exactly you're going to do there. And then, are you adding a road somewhere? Or?
Through the chair, Senator Wolkowski, this chart really depicts what will be done. As you can see, the circle area with Northern Lights Boulevard going left to right and Elmore Road leading north to south. The connection will be primarily from Burgaw to Elmore Road, providing for that north-south route.
Okay. Boy, that's been very controversial, as you know.
Yes, it has.
Is this something that's been approved by the Anchorage Assembly and local community councils?
Through the chair, Senator Wolkowski, it's in the TIP, as I understand, and has been an AMATS project because they provided the initial funding for the study, and this funding will augment that.
Oh, so this is only a study, or is this actual road construction?
Through the chair, Senator Wolkowski, this is a study right now to complete the work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, this is Senator Cavery.
Go ahead, Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, I was wondering what process was used to determine what project would be or not be on the list.
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, the department created a list of projects that we saw were needed projects around the state, and provided that our list, vetted the list within the department, and submitted our list to the governor's office. The governor's office, in their determination of funding sources, came up with those that were geo bond funded versus general fund.
I noticed there was a $10 million included for the expansion of the Port of Anchorage, which I support, but the governor vetoed the same appropriation for last year. What has changed, do you know, to make them, the government change, the governor change this in the list at this time?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Cowdery, the Port Authority request is not part of DOT's presentation today. I believe that we have Mr. Ed Leon online, or will be calling in if he's not on right now, who's the Director of Finance for the Port of Anchorage, and may be able to answer questions or maybe be presenting something on that particular project.
Mr. Leon, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Did you hear Senator Cowdery's question?
Yes, I did. And to my understanding, reading the bill, we are not part of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. However, we are part of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, which follows this section in Senate Bill 224. So I guess what I'm saying is that we are not included in the Department of Transportation, but we are individualized in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Senator Cowdery, would you like to have more of an answer, or are you satisfied with the responses?
The governor vetoed the appropriation for this last year, and I just wondered what changed her to include this in the list at this time.
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, the governor came and visited us earlier this year, and or actually, I should say last fall, and we presented a slide presentation to her, plus gave her a tour. And I don't think everybody knew, was aware of the impact that the Port of Anchorage has on the state of Alaska, in that 75% of the consumer goods that come to the state of Alaska come to the Port of Anchorage. Most of the fuel and some of the dry goods that go up to the villages depart out of the Port of Anchorage and go up to the villages via barges and what have you. And I think that was something that some of the folks are not totally aware of. I believe now they are aware of the situation. And I think, hopefully, the attitude is a little bit different at this point, the outlook on our situation here.
Well, on top of that, I think most of our military shipping deals for them.
Absolutely, through the chair, Senator Cowdery. All the deployments come through the Port of Anchorage. We have had, in 2004, we had 4 deployments. In 2005, we had 6. In 2006, we had 3. And last year, we had another 3 deployments. As you, I think, are aware, the construction phases have created a haul road, as we refer to it, which is a road that allows access from Elmendorf Air Force Base, laying above the port. It allows them access to move all the deployment vehicles down into the port area, along with the vehicles coming in from Fort Richardson. This, of course, makes it easier for them. Plus, it keeps the traffic of hauling these vehicles from the downtown core and creating traffic problems.
Yeah, I'm very aware of this.
Thank you, Senator Cowdery. Thank you, Mr. Leon. Just for the record, I'd like to note that we've been joined by Senator Donnie Olson. Would you go ahead with your presentation?
Mr. Chair, just last point on this slide. The U District has actually more employment than any of the than downtown Anchorage. So it's a high it's an area of great employment within the city of Anchorage, and they need to have a north-south connector. Next slide, please.
Okay, thank you.
As we all know, the university has hopes to expand and ultimately create a town center and sports arena, as shown on this slide. Well, the challenge is that the Northern Lights connection and the UAA Drive is, again, one of the Anchorage's top 10 accident locations, so that we feel that by having this connection within the UMed district, we'll be able to relieve some of those accidents. And again, Senator Wierkowski, this was part of the Anchorage Long Range Transportation Plan. The next one, Mr. Chairman, is all about economic development on the North Slope. The Dalton Highway is the lifeline to the oil fields of Prudhoe Bay. We've started upgrading the Dalton Highway with the support of this committee and the finance committees about 3 years ago, where we got additional operating and capital monies that we are using on the Dalton Highway. And this will augment that by providing another $14 million and upgrade about 121 miles of road. The success of that program has been greatly presented to us by the trucking community and those users of the Dalton Highway and the northern area legislators.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you. Frank, how does this work with the $9 million commitment? Does this replace it or does this augment it? I think we're in year four of the $9 million. And so is it 9 plus 14 or is it just going to be 14 1 year and then back to 9?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, in the capital budget this year, we've actually have $5 million instead of the 9, and then this was going to augment it if the bond package is passed by the vote of the people. So it'll be in addition to those capital dollars.
So 1 year it would be $19 million available to spend, but then would it come back then to the $9 million for another year? Or does this end that tacit agreement of $9 million a year for 5 years?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, our goal would be that we would continue on with that funding level to be able to continue the work on the Dalton Highway.
Beyond this?
Correct.
At the $9 million or plus level?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, yes.
Okay. Thank you. And these meetings are recorded. Yes, thank you.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Richards, as we look at some of the wear and tear that's gone on the Dalton Highway over the last couple of years, especially when you've had increased traffic to the carrying the bypass mail up the road as opposed to where it was flying at before. Has there been any significant wear and tear recently in the last year or two since bypass mail is now trucked up to Prudhoe Bay? Dead horse?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we have seen increased traffic not only through the bypass mail but also with the backhaul of fuel up there with ultra-low sulfur fuel. So that has meant, you know, several more trucks. I'm not sure the exact number per day that are going up there, but those 18-wheelers do pound that surface, and we lose the surface, the surfacing course, the gravel on it. But I think that we've been keeping at it with the additional operating funds that we've been getting, as well as with the capital funds in terms of being able to raise the grade and get us out of those snow drifting areas. And we're keeping up, but this will allow us to get even a better road.
And the same with the bridges and those that are, especially the one going across the Yukon River.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, we are improving the wearing surface on that bridge, and we're also going to be taking on some of the deep fill culverts out there that need to be replaced because they were original culverts, and we're seeing some sloughing of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Mr. Chairman, this gives me an opportunity to invite the members of the committee on our annual trip that we take up the Dalton Highway to share and show the legislature what the benefits of this particular project is, and to show you that area of the country and the importance to the state. Senator Wilkin was one of the first members along one of those trips, rode in the cab of an 18-wheeler and saw it firsthand and listened to a longtime trucker tell the stories of driving up there for almost 20 years. Such to the point where he was remorseful having to get back into the excursion with us because he had a better ride in the 18-wheeler than he did with us taking him down the road.
How far do you take people?
Mr. Chairman,
how long does it take?
We do it as a day trip. We take folks up, fly them up to Prudhoe Bay, and then we put folks in the cab of trucks, and then we drive down to Chandelier. We usually have a barbecue lunch that our guys put on for us, and then drive the rest of the way down to Jim River, where an airplane picks us up and takes us back to Fairbanks and Anchorage.
So is that sleeper car still available that he drove?
We can make it available, yes, sir.
Okay.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, it's a remarkable trip. I mean, I grew up in Fairbanks, was there when the Dalton started, and had heard so much about it and have so many friends that drove it and saw the trucks around town. But I'd never been south of Dead Horse, and those that haven't done that, it's a remarkable road with remarkable stories in a remarkable country. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't done it, I'd take a day to do it. They treat you first class. It's bada bing, but you learn a lot in one day. So that's my editorial comment.
That is true, Mr. Chairman. It is a long day. It's probably about a 12-hour day, but we feel it's very worthwhile, and folks can see it, as the Senator said, firsthand. And we'll likely do it in June, and we'll try and give you advance notice as early as probably next month to see if we can line up a date and give the invitations to you.
Ask the Governor if we could. She might have us here for a special session.
And it's a one-way trip?
North to south.
North to south.
Thank you. Go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This project is about safety improvements, economic development, and quality of life issues in the Kenai Borough. Project funds will be used to improve drainage, resurface deteriorated pavement, and pave existing gravel roads on some of the numerous roads within the borough. We support the borough's efforts to improve their facilities with non-federal funds. This project will supplement borough funding as they work through their five-year plan for road improvements. The borough is and has updated their road standard and is raising the bar for roads that will meet those standards, and that ultimately the borough will take over ownership, so they won't be facing this in the future. This is a unique safety project for us. Snake River Bridge is a vital link to Nome City's power plant, the port, and the postal hub. All freight must cross this bridge. The bridge itself has structural issues, namely its abutments and piles, but the bridge is also a safety issue for aircraft. When commercial trucks, large trucks with greater than 15 feet, are on the bridge, we have an airspace obstruction. The FAA has consistently cited us for this issue, and something that the state of Alaska must address.
How are you going to do it then? Are you going to drop the bridge?
We're going to move to an alternate location.
Just move it.
Where?
Take that one out then?
Yes, we'll take that one out. I thought it was going to be farther downstream. Actual location, I don't know.
To get away from the airport.
To get away from the airspace.
You didn't know about that, huh?
We have damage that are routinely impacted by ice flows, and we have the wooden abutment is deteriorating quite severely. We've had to close this bridge down over a number of years due to these problems, and had to go in and fix them to be able to allow that vital freight to come across that bridge. Mr. Chairman, this is another one of economic activity and a project that we hope will ultimately reduce consumer costs in interior Alaska. Every year, the department has to place weight restrictions on our roads and highways to prevent damage from heavily loaded trucks. We limit the roads, limit the weight to 85% of legal loads. The damage to the pavement that the heavy trucks cause is essentially rutting and cracking, and which creates an unsafe surface for users of the highway. Pavement rehabilitation will bring this section of the highway back to its full strength, structural strength. It's interesting to note the damage of one 80,000-pound tractor trailer is equivalent to essentially 10,000 passes of a vehicle, if we call it an easel, on the road surface. What happens in the springtime is that you get thaw in the directly below the pavement in that base. And if there's water in there, the water is trapped because you've got a frozen layer beneath, and then you've got the truck load on top. So you actually get an undulating surface, and that cracks the pavement. So what we need to do is come in there with a non-frost susceptible embankment to be able, so there's no water trapped in it, and then we can put the load, allow the trucks to go over that where there won't be water that will crack the surface. And we feel that ultimately there'll be an economic benefit because the truckers won't have to break down loads that come in through across the port of Anchorage and break down the loads into smaller parcels to truck it and meet the legal loads that we've restricted to 85%. So we'll reduce that handling cost, and that'll be a benefit to all the consumers.
This is Senator Cowdery.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Cowdery.
Yeah, who was just on?
Senator Cowdery, this is Frank Richards with DOT.
Yeah, Frank. Right? I've met you before. You remember a few few years ago, there was a study from the University of Alaska on the North Roads, and they determined that it wasn't the weight or the size of the truck, and they determined that southbound lanes had more damage than the northbound lanes. They attributed that to the bounce of the empty trailers. And I thought at that time we worked out something that the weight maybe the speed limit during the critical times would be reduced. And I don't know if that's still intact. It was a different administration. But do you recall that?
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I don't recall the university study that showed an impact to the southbound lanes.
We paid for it. I'd say it's probably 5 years old. You might look into that.
Through the chair, Senator Cowdery, I will be glad to look at that.
I thought it was pretty interesting. And it kind of made sense. They said that the bounce of the trailers, empty trailers, really did the damage. And the southbound lanes had more damage than the northbound lanes. So anyway, you ought to refresh that and look at that study.
Thank you, Senator Cowdery.
Next, Mr. Chairman, this is a Seward Highway project, specifically in an area called Windy Corner at milepost 105 to 107. This is truly a safety project, primarily due to traffic congestion during the summer and the issue being wildlife viewing because Dall sheep come right down next to the road on the cliffs. This project will move both the railroad and the road to the west out into near Turning and Arn. The revised highway location will not affect the sheep habitat and will provide off-highway parking and viewing so that we don't have pedestrians running right alongside the Seward Highway. As you can see in this photo, the sheep come right down that cliff, right down to the side of the road. Folks will pull off the side of the road, sometimes still in the traveled lane, and it's a road safety problem because you've still got a 55-mile-an-hour road running through there with very, very limited sight distances. So this project will be able to create a wayside for these folks that want to see the wildlife and get them off of that traveled way. The Seward Highway, as you can see in this photo, followed the contours of the mountainside, and so the visibility on this particular area was extremely restricted and did not allow for adequate passing. We have conducted or prepared an environmental document for the Seward Highway safety improvements from milepost 105 to milepost 115, and that identified that cutting off that windy corner, that rock knob, and cutting into those cliffs would adversely impact the Dall sheep, so that was going to be a controversial issue. Moving the road and railroad into Turning and Arm are going to be done at significant expense, but are necessary to accommodate the capacity and safety needs of the highway. And as this chart shows, we've had 8 fatalities in this particular 2-mile section over the last 25 years. The legislature did appropriate $12 million in 2006 to construct passing lanes in the Windy Corner area. However, escalating construction costs and further design analysis and the need to be consistent with that environmental document regarding the sheep habitat requires us to move now towards Turning and Arm. And these funds would allow us to utilize that existing $12 million and create this project in total. Mr. Chairman, payments around Southeast Alaska, as you may know, are failing. This project will resurface and improve drainage along Petersburg, the Mitkoff Highway in Petersburg, the Craig to Kluwak to Hollis Highway on Prince of Wales, and on Glacier Highway in Juneau. These pictures pretty much indicate the condition of the pavements in those sections of the road. Alligator cracking, stress cracking, major potholes, they're all through there, and so it is the condition of the road is essentially in a failed condition. And then, so for Mitkoff Highway, we're looking at about 14 miles of road. This road provides the road link to the new YFA terminal at Blind Slough, which would be up to the right, well past Hatchery Lake Road, and it provides the only access to residential and recreational areas beyond Scow Bay. The Craig Kluwak Hollis Highway, this section of road is about again, 7 miles between Craig and Hollis, and it's the only road link between the two largest communities on Prince of Wales Island. And then in Juneau, the Glacier Highway, this project would run from Brotherhood Bridge out to the ferry terminal. Most of you know that that leads to the university as well as Auk Bay and leads out to the end of our national highway system at the ferry terminal. Next up is the Steese Highway and Johansson Expressway. This project is again a safety and congestion relief project. We're going to be improving intersections, we're going to be adding turn lanes, improving the signing and signal, providing pedestrian facilities, improving drainage, and the traffic circulation and flow improvements of the surrounding area. This just essentially just identifies, or was a pictorial to show the challenges of pedestrians in the area as well as some of the businesses. Next, please. This aerial shows essentially some of the worst congested intersections that we have. This is a fast-growing area. We've seen major expansion out there with the big box stores going out there, other commercial businesses coming in. We've got new residential subdivisions that are going in the area. And we see that the commercial activity out there is bringing a lot more traffic in the area, so we have the issues of congestion in Fairbanks, and we'd like to be able to relieve that and provide good traffic patterns for the citizens of that northern city.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Wilkin.
Frank, does the $15 million touch each one of those red stars?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkin, I'm not sure if each one of the intersections, I believe so, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where we have turn lane impacts, where we have traffic signal impacts.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, that concludes the DOT's testimony. I believe we've got James King to talk about the DNR projects in the bond bill.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much for your presentation. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? If not, we're going to go to off-site, and we're going to go to Mr. Thompson from the Alaska Trucking Association. Are you on, sir? Mr. Thompson, are you on?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Alaska Trucking Association. Yeah, state your name and your affiliation for the record, please, and go ahead and give us your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ave Thompson. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our more than 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement represents a large chunk of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. The simple truth is that if you got it, a truck brought it. One of the priorities of the ATA is and has been to expand the DOT and PF General Fund Capital Projects Program. It's clear that federal funding will not meet Alaska's transportation infrastructure needs either in the short or the long term. Given the enormous increase in our tax revenue, Alaska needs to invest some of our dollars in our transportation system. Based on our position, we need to invest our dollars in our transportation system. We feel that this is an appropriate use of general fund dollars. The Alaska Trucking Association supports the projects to be funded, the DOT projects to be funded in this through this bond issue. A number of the projects are ATA priorities, such as the Parks Highway weight restriction upgrade, Dalton Highway improvements, several of the Connect Anchorage projects, the Windy Corner on the Seward Highway safety project, the Steese Johansson projects, and other important projects throughout our state. The Trucking Association does not take a position on bonding versus the general fund payment. That's a decision that we'll leave to the legislature. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, the Alaska Trucking Association supports the projects identified in Senate Bill 224 and urges you to fund them either with bond dollars or in general fund dollars. And either way, Alaskans are making an investment in our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Thompson?
Yes, Senator Cowdery.
Yes, Mr. Cowdery, go ahead,
I'd
please.
I'd like to ask Dave if he recalls, I think it's before he worked for the trucking, industry, but he was with DOT. But do you recall the study I talked about earlier about the bounce of the empty trailers?
Through the chair, Senator Cadre, I have some vague recollection of it, and yeah. And I think you're on to something there, but it's not clear in my memory. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, it was I think on the Knowles administration that this came up. So
through the chair, Senator Cadre, I believe you're right.
Yeah, but anyway, we talked about the load restrictions and getting. You know, if you get a load of oranges loaded in Florida, at the time it gets here, it meets all the load limits, and you got to unload it. That's not economical, and it's not practical. So anyway,
Mr. Chairman, if I may make one more comment, please.
Go ahead.
As we talk about the elimination of weight restrictions, some folks have the notion that this is to the benefit of the truckers. And that's not necessarily true. The benefit is to the consumers. I believe Deputy Commissioner Richards alluded to the fact that it's a consumer cost involved there. And as the trucking industry can't carry its normal full loads, full legal loads, that is, the cost goes up, and that cost is borne by either the shipper or the receiver. So as we look at this, let's look at this as a benefit to the citizens of Alaska.
Thank you for your comments. Do you have any more? Are there any other questions for this presenter? If not, we're going to go to James King, Director of State Parks. Are you on, sir?
Yeah, come on.
Your name and affiliation for the record, and go ahead and give us your presentation, if you would.
Thank you. My name is James King. I'm the Director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation within the Department of Natural Resources. So I'm hoping you're looking at a slide that has a couple of gentlemen looking out across the scenery there at Mount McKinley. Is that true?
Yes, we are. Go ahead. We are looking at that.
Great. This is a project that's about providing more access to our public land and sharing a Denali experience, if you will, with more Alaskans and with more visitors, and to help build a more sustainable economy in this area. So having said that, let's go to the next slide, if we could, which is a vicinity map. And this whole project is about, again, more access and building this new visitor center complex there in the South Denali area. So looking at that vicinity map, the large gray area in the center represents Denali National Park. The smaller green area there to the lower right side of that gray represents South Denali or Denali State Park. And then the yellow square is where this proposed South Denali Visitor Complex is proposed to be. One thing to note, that again, this project's been talked about forever, and as it's been talked about, there was a lot of concern about putting it out on the road that goes out from Trapper Creek, and in that area, there was concern from mining interests, from snow machiners, and other uses in that area. And this current proposal is not for that area. This is for over on Curry Ridge. So if we could go to the next slide, please. This is a site plan concept. Again, the black line on the left-hand side of the map represents the park's highway as it's coming up through Denali State Park. For those of you who are familiar with the road, you can see there at milepost 134 and a half. Is where the proposed facility would start. That is just a little bit shy of the Denali View scenic overlook, or for those who are more familiar, Mary's McKinley View Lodge is right there in that area. The concept is to build a road from the Parks Highway up onto Curry Ridge, and down near the Parks Highway would be a transportation center where buses and cars would be left, and then there would be a transit system that takes people up onto the ridge where the proposed visitor center is. So this $8.9 million that's proposed in the bond package is for building that roughly 4 miles of road to get people up onto the ridge. The other thing important to note about this project is there are a lot of pieces for a lot of different user groups. There are trails involved, both motorized and non-motorized, lots of viewing opportunities and interpretive opportunities, as well as parking facilities in other areas within the park that will help, again, expedite or encourage access into our public lands. If we could go to the next slide, please. This is a picture of a lake up on the ridge. You can see Mount McKinley just peeking out of the clouds there, the park's highway down in the valley below. You can see how beautiful the ridge is up there at the lake. And this is where the road would terminate and the visitor center would be. Again, and I think the best way I can describe this as to what our purpose is, as we went to look at this site with the governor last year, and we were flying the route of the proposed road, and it was a cloudy day, as we were flying up towards the top of that ridge, we looked out and there was a hole in the clouds and Mount McKinley was sticking through. And the governor elbowed me and said, it doesn't matter how long you live in this state and how many times you see that mountain, it is still a spectacular, wonderful thing to see. And that's what we want to share with the rest of Alaskans and visitors to our state. And that's what we think that the need for is in this area. If we could go to the next slide, please. So again, the need, the purpose is to meet what we're hearing from Alaskans and from visitors and from the visitor industry to create more opportunities to see what's so beautiful about this state and to improve access to our parklands and to provide year-round interpretive and recreational opportunities. One of the interesting things with this project now is we're getting a new convention center here in Anchorage. Convention season is generally October, November, and March and April. Well, almost all of the visitor facilities in this state are shut down during that time of the year. The plan for this visitor center is it would be a year-round facility, both for visitors to the state and, again, to locals. Our hope is to keep this open so that on a weekend you might have locals up there that are using it almost as a warming hut. They're going out skiing, snowshoeing, snowmobiling, other types of uses from this area. So also we see this as we've done that there's been a long planning process on this the last 7 years. There has been a implementation and environmental impact statement that's been completed. And the exciting thing is, for the most part, everybody's in agreement. Not everybody. Most people are in agreement. We don't have groups on either side of any of the issues that are willing to are waiting to sue us or to tear this project apart. It's been a long process of talking to everyone. That means motorized users, miners, skiers, dog sledders, all of the different pieces, including the industry, the visitor industry. And there's a lot of excitement, I think, from all of those. Now, obviously, we still have a few people that aren't very excited about it, but we're feeling very good about this long process. And as far as boosting the economy, there's a lot of opportunity for expanded lodging, food services, tours, and other things that would come from building a visitor destination in this area. As far as the timeline, we're looking at the design and construction of this access road to happen in the next 3 years, and followed as those processes start, the design and construction of the visitor complex, the transportation center, the campground, the trails, and the other facilities that are tied in with this. As far as funding, we've worked very closely with the federal government, both through the National Park Service and through our congressional delegation. Both have showed incredible support on this, and both have said, if the state will step up and start this project, we will complete it. So this is our effort to have the state step up with this $8.9 million and show the federal government that we are serious about this, that this is a priority, that there is a lot of support. And we've received a lot of assurances, again, both through the Park Service and their funding mechanisms and through our congressional delegation, that they'll come in and finish the cost of this. It's an interesting partnership. We've worked very closely with the Matsu Borough, who is very behind this and excited about it. It's within their borough, and it represents economic opportunities and visitor opportunities to the borough. The Park Service has helped us a lot with this, and often funding. We've worked closely with the businesses, with Princess and others that have facilities and interest in this area, and they're very supportive and encouraging. We've, again, worked with the public. The other point to note on this, to let it all hang out, I guess, so to speak, we've heard some concerns from Fairbanks that, well, this is going to compete with potential visitors that might go to Fairbanks. As we've done the surveys and the research and the studies, we don't believe that's true. This is a different type of experience than the one that's had in the national park. Really, the national park experience for most people is a three-day trip. It takes them a day to get there, a day to ride the bus out. There's all kinds of wildlife and things, and a day back. This facility on the south side is within a little over 2 hours of Anchorage. So folks who have visitors here or want to just do a quick day trip can go look at it. It won't have the wildlife viewing opportunities like the national park does, but it'll have an opportunity for people to see the mountain, how beautiful it is, and the surrounding alpine lake and other things that are in that area. So we don't see it as detracting from folks who are already going north and want that national park experience. Thank you for the opportunity to spend a few minutes talking about this.
Okay, we have a question for you from Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have actually a couple questions, if I could. Is this near Byers Lake, then?
No. Byers Lake is as you look at a map of Denali State Park, is about in the center of the park as you're traveling up the park's highway. And this is within, I believe, 3 miles of the lower border of the park, so it's quite a ways from Byers Lake, and I don't have the exact mileage, but it's quite a few.
And then what the $20 million that you're expecting from federal government, I guess in this day of more skepticism on earmarks, is that do you see, is that to be funded through a so-called earmark, or is that something that you have assurances from the National Park Service that they'll include in their budget?
Again, through the chair, we're trying every strategy we can think of. The first one is called the Centennial Initiative, which I just received an email yesterday. There's roughly $260 million in what's called the Centennial Initiative through the National Park Service, which is a matching program dollar for dollar for projects like this. We've taken this project all the way to the Secretary of the Interior, and he is excited about it and has commented that this really makes sense and fits that Centennial Initiative process. So our hope is, if we get the $8.9 million, to immediately turn around and apply for those Centennial Initiative dollars. That's the first piece. The second piece is that the Park Service is very interested and supportive of this. In their concept of things, they figure that the Parks Road at some point will get too much activity on it as far as taking people in and out of the park. So they see this as a place where it's an alternative. If they get to a point where they say, okay, the Parks Road is full, here's another place you can go. So they are supportive, and they have put it in their budget process. And then the third being an earmark from the congressional delegation. So we're actively pursuing all three of those. I guess the fourth piece that I haven't mentioned is we've received very encouraging comment from private businesses saying, if you press forward with this, we will come forward and put money on the table, proving that we support this, that we feel like it's important for the visitor industry and for the economy.
And then just last question, Mr. Chair, if I could. I don't know, I haven't heard much about this project, and I don't know if it, how controversial it is or not. Obviously, a project that's too controversial in any bond could potentially takes down the whole bond. I mean, what is the level of controversy that you see? I mean, is there do you see a groundswell of opposition to this somewhere down the line?
Again, through the chair, no. What we, for the last 7 years, we've worked on this process, planning process. And the original proposal for this facility was out in the Peters Hill area, and that became very controversial. Miners were concerned about it. Snow machine users were concerned about it. The Quiet Right folks were concerned about it. The skiers, everybody seemed to have a concern about it. We sat down with those folks, again, over 7 years, and talked about what are the alternatives? What is the real demand? What's the need for this? Is there really a need for it? And did some pretty extensive studies and surveys. As we've gotten to this point, we feel like, for the most part, we have everybody on board. The Quiet Rights folks have said, yeah, this makes sense. This is closer to the road. It's not getting people quite as far out in the middle of undisturbed areas. The snow machiners have said, yes, we agree. This is a good place for this. The miners have supported it. The environmental community has said, yeah, this is a neat opportunity to interpret our wilderness without detracting from it too much. The business community has said, yes, this makes sense. It's within reach of our existing facilities, where there is potential land near this that could be developed to provide support facilities. So the short answer is no, we don't think anybody is lined up to make this controversial, and we're trying very hard to listen and keep communicating with those folks in case concerns are raised.
Thank you.
Senator Wilken.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. James, congratulations. It sounds like you're getting settled in, and this has been a big project, and I remember when it first came on the radar screen 7 or 8 years ago, and I remember that furor that occurred over a couple of years, and so it sort of went off into the woodshed, and I see you brought it back. So congratulations. And James, we met, as you remember, when we had our visit in early December, and as you know, I'm from Fairbanks, and I support this project.
Through the chair, if I could, thank you, Senator. I appreciate your support and your comments. And it's been a lot of people. It's not just me. I came in late in the game. But there really has been a lot of effort. And you know, we've got stacks of letters of support from many of the community and economic groups and private businesses. And we're excited about it. We think we've gone through a process to turn this into a win-win for everybody. That's getting a lot of support. So thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.
Thank you, James.
Any other questions from members of the committee? If not, we'll close public. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have a James, Ed Leon, who was on earlier, and I want to know if you had any more you wanted to add from the Port of Anchorage.
Well, I'm not sure that we have enough time at this point for me to give you my spiel of speech can number 32, but if there are any questions, I certainly would be glad to answer them.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? I see none. Thank you very much for being here today, and we don't have any other questions for you, so appreciate your time. With that, I'm going to close public testimony and ask for the wish of the committee.
I'll move you on, do it.
I mean, is it your, I guess...
It's my intention to move it, yeah.
Is your intention to move it, Mr. Chair? I guess, I'll make a motion to move it. I guess I'm not firmly convinced that we need to do a GO bond. I guess that's something they can wrestle with up in finance.
Finance will have it next, yes.
But I'll make the motion to move the bill, SB 224, along with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection? Hearing none, then the bill is moved to the next committee of referral, and thank you very much for your time. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you. It's 5 minutes after 3:00.